The light on. Just be sure. Is any light on here?
Yeah.
All right, that's fine. So we are looking at understanding the salvation experience. We want to learn to grow in God, and so that we can become the resource by which nations can be discipled, so that we can transform nations and bring them in the way of the Lord. Now, if you look at our slogan here, we said changing lives, transforming nations, defining spiritual pathways. So you might have been born again so many years ago, but sometimes you do not understand even the born again experience very well. Even if you do very well, it's important that you listen to this and listen carefully, because the same things may be taught, but may be taught in different ways. Now, when these things are done, when we are done with these teachings, some of us are going to become instructors of these lessons, teaching others. That is why it's important you have to take some notes and record something, because you need to revisit them. And therefore, it will require certain preparations on your part to teach these things. So make some notes. Now, what are some of the things we'll be teaching through this season? I mentioned them quickly. We'll talk about salvation, understanding salvation. We'll talk about sexual purity. We'll talk about the issues of holiness. We'll talk about water baptism, the biblical significance of water baptism. How many of us have been baptized in water? Were you immersed? Were you soaked, or water was poured on you? Which of them? You were soaked, pushed down there. Huh? So you, it was poured on you. Then we put you in water. But in the event, assuming there is no water and we poured on, we did a pouring, we baptize you, right? But I'm going to teach on these things. You will begin to appreciate it. You remember I taught this thing. There are three recordings I have on that already. And when we get into the teaching, I'm still going to throw those recordings at you. You will listen to this one, you listen to the old one, and look at the depth with which these things are taught at different levels, at different times. We will talk about prayer. We're going to teach about prayer. What is prayer? Some of us say we don't know how to pray. We will talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. What is it to have the Holy Spirit? We'll even talk about who is the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit himself. We will talk about soul winning. We'll talk about discipleship. We'll talk about God and his identity. Who is God? Another powerful topic we'll discuss is the Bible. And it is designed to help you to understand the Bible so you can have a personal study time. You understand? You as a born-again believer, somebody should not know the Bible more than you. Yes, you have to be the best teacher of the Bible. Nobody should teach it more than you. I remember some years ago, Shushu brought a guy. He's dead now. He's passed on. Shushu brought a gentleman to my office, and I understand he argues everything in the Bible. And this guy sat in front of me and began to ask questions about God, about Genesis and all of that, and I started talking. I just started talking. And it was very quiet. Initially, you can see the resistance. As I was talking, the resistance kept coming low. By the time I ended, he got up and started clapping. He said, "You are the first person that has convinced me." I told myself nobody will teach the Bible more than me. I actually did 3 days fasting and prayer. 3 days fasting and prayer, asking God, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation knowledge. And until one day we were praying, and a friend of mine who is a prophet, he looked at me. We're in a valley in Ablekuma, praying. We had prayed from about 9 p.m. to about 6 a.m. He said, "I am seeing your head divided." He doesn't know my prayer. He said, "I'm seeing your head divided, and I'm seeing the Bible that is shining being put inside your head, and an oil is being poured upon you." I said, "Father, thank you." Because I used to pray. I said, "God, make me 50 years ahead of my generation." That is why sometimes my messages, if you're not careful, you don't understand it. because you think I'm teaching too far, I'm teaching to pastors. No, I'm teaching to you. So you have to press in to enter into that thing. I actually pray, I said, God, make me 50 years relevant ahead of my generation. So we'll talk about the Bible. What is the Bible? How do you study it? I'll teach you basic, about 6, 7, 10 principles on scripture interpretation. So that when somebody is interpreting scripture anyhow, you know that this one is not accurate. We're going to talk about renewing the mind. We'll talk about the resources of the inner life. Resources of the inner life. We will talk about how to be led by God. You understand that? I'm sure some of us want to hear the voice of God. Is God leading me? When God speaks, how do I know? We're naming Harry's daughter yesterday. I was standing there. When God spoke, I just knew. Nobody had to tell me that God is talking to me. I just knew. I was in Pastor Chris's place yesterday. When God spoke, I know. When I called a certain gentleman and I began to describe the work, everybody started screaming in the auditorium. And I just told her, I said, simply because God is just telling you that everything we came to pray is confirming it. Using this gentleman. Then the thing swept me again. I started speaking to another person. It swept me again. Listen, how do you know God is leading you? So that you don't go and you meet a man. You know how we human beings, we can sanctify demons into angels. You meet this lady, you know this lady is a demon. You yourself, you know. You know that this guy is a demon. But because you want to marry the guy, or the guy wants to marry the lady, you come and lie to his pastor. Oh, pastor, you know, hey, he is a very powerful man of God. And my friend, he is a prayer warrior. You understand? Hey, mommy has given me approval. He's a prayer warrior. He is this and that. How do you know the man standing in front of you will lead you into destruction? How do you know the woman standing in front of you will lead you into destruction? How do you know? There's a lady who was marrying somebody and she called me. I remember this day she called and wept and wept. I said, don't marry him. Please don't marry him. I said, would you understand? I said, don't marry him. I said, daddy, come and let's go and pray. She didn't come. The next thing, after some 1 month or 3 months, they were marrying. And that particular time, she insulted me and my wife even very, very, she insulted us very, very well. If not, some of my phones are destroyed, I would have shown you the messages. Even sent me the message that your wife is a witch. You know, if my wife is a witch and you can hear God now, what can I say to you that you hear? She married a guy, or they married themselves. 6 months, it broke. And that was the second marriage. She's in the third marriage. And she is doing the same thing again. So how do you know God is leading you? So we'll talk about these things. We'll talk about these things. Then we'll talk about the importance of community. Some of us, we don't value 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 community. So let's get into today's phone and let's talk about understanding salvation, biblical perspective. What do we seek to see? What do we seek to study? What's our objective? What's our objective? The question is, have you asked yourself, what happened to me when I became born again, when I became saved? What happened to me? What really happened to me? So we want to find out what happened when one is saved. When we accept Jesus Christ as in our hearts, as our Lord and personal Savior, what happened? How many of us here are not born again? I remember one day I was chatting with Mary. Then she sent me a message. Daddy, I want to be born again. We're chatting. She said, Daddy, I want to be born. And that night, last year, she gave her life to Jesus Christ. So today she must understand, she is looking elsewhere. What happened to her? Maybe somebody told you when you become born again, the ground will shake, everything will move, and then you become the most happiest person. Your problems did not change necessarily. If I ask her, when she gave her life to Jesus, that's where her trouble started. I'm telling you, that's where her battles now began. So what happened when I became born again? We want to answer that question somehow. What happens when we come to Christ is the question. Why the need for salvation? Is it important for somebody to be born again at all? Because if you may find yourself anywhere, somebody say, is it important for somebody to be born again? Why give your life to Christ? He is actually questioning the stand you have taken to follow God. And it's important that you must understand, I must understand and be grounded. If not, like the Bible says in the book of Ephesians, you'll be carried by any wind of doctrine before you see something is said. Now, all over the place today, you see people doing videos and saying all kinds of things. Listen to this. I have a video here. If I play it, when I play it, you will love it. But when you think deeply about scripture, you realize it's wrong. It's a great man out of Nigeria talking it. And he said, all the things that we are chasing, chasing, right? All the things that we are fighting, sometimes people kill people for houses and all of that. He says, they are temporal. They are transient. I said, agreed. Then the Holy Spirit said to me, do you know that every wealth that you have eternal consequences? So the world can say it's temporal. Life is temporal. So if you're not careful, you will believe a lie. Life is temporal, so you live anyhow. But when you understand that even the money you make is an attack on satanic kingdom, then it changes the way you make money. It changes the way you take care of the little money in your hand. Do you know every single dollar, every single peso, every single cedi, euro, pounds, whatever that comes into your hand, the enemy is not happy with you? Yeah. Because you are destroying his fortune. He wants everything for himself. Inside this world, it's a lot of politics. The control lies with money. If you don't have money, you don't control things. That is why I said from the how many months or to the end of the year, I'm going to be praying and talking about money on Facebook Live. Go and watch today's own. You will love it. So we want to talk about salvation. What is salvation? I'm defining it. What is salvation? Just follow me. This is going to be very brief. In the next 15 minutes, I should be done. I'm not doing all the teaching, preaching, and jumping. But when the anointing comes, we'll do. What is salvation? What does salvation mean? Salvation means that we are brought from a place of death as a result of sin to a place of life. We died. And God has brought us from that realm of death to life. Am I born again? Yes. What happened to me? I moved from a position of death into life. It is God's rescue mission, delivering us from death and bringing us into life. Next week, Sunday, I'm going to jump into a certain Greek word that defines salvation. The word is soteria. And I'm going to use soteria to drill salvation a bit down for you to begin to appreciate what has happened to you and what you have received from God. When we look at the word soteria, we realize that salvation is not a word, but salvation is a sentence. Salvation is a package. But for now, for starters, we are saying salvation means we have been delivered from death as a result of sin. We died as a result of sin. Take note of that statement. I died as a result of sin. You died as a result of sin, and Jesus came to deliver us. So if I'm born again, I'm full of life. We are defining a few things. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, the verse 13 through 15. Colossians chapter 1, the verse 13 through 15. Colossians chapter 1, the verse 13 through 15. Speaking of God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. See, we are teaching this thing, but I'm picking some very powerful thing. Colossians 1, the verse 13 through 15. Who has delivered us, take note of the words carefully, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. So what is salvation? Deliverance from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. It's a translation, it's a transition. Imagine you used to live in, give me a location, I don't know, you used to live in Togo, you used to live in Kumasi, you used to live in Nkoko, and then you have moved to Tema. Even though you have lived there before, your present location, your present environment has things that support you other than living in Togo. You are in Ghana and you move from Togo. The laws of, say, Nigeria, Togo, no longer necessarily governs you, because in this environment are new laws. Please take note of what I'm saying. So we have moved away from a certain old law and have come under a certain new law, and it's called the kingdom of his dear son. And take note, when you are making notes, there are important things you need to take note of, like kingdom of his dear son. What does kingdom means? What does the kingdom of darkness means? What does translation mean? It's a complete change that took place. Whether your skin changed, whether your pancreas got healed or not, that thing has happened. It's a spiritual fulfillment that has been enacted in your spirit, and that thing will begin to affect the way you and I live. Our salvation. He said, who has delivered us from the power of darkness? So you can underline that, the power of darkness. Maybe Charity can start a new note. Mary can start a new note. The power of darkness. You can begin to research and seek God. What does it mean, this thing called power? Delivered from the power of darkness. And you'll be amazed the things that you see. So if I want to do further study on salvation, I can underline that delivered from the power of darkness. And I begin to search, what are these things that I was delivered from when I became born again? So when I said, what happened to me when I came to Christ, is that I moved away from the law. Let me make it very simple. Under the power of darkness is the influence of Satan, is the command of Satan. So if the Bible said he has delivered us from the power of darkness, he has moved us from the influence of Satan and his laws and his government, and he has brought us under a new government, a new management, a new law is happening to us. Charity, go and bring the boy to your end. Bring the boy to your end. Because he is motivating the sister. If you shout, I'll also shout. So, do you see what has happened to you? The law of Satan is no longer over you. The control of Satan is no longer over you. It's gone. That is the way people don't like born again, though. He just got born again. He said, no, I'm going back to the power of darkness. He quickly ran. He said, no. As for the power of darkness, there is, do you know what they call Agunaya? You know Agunaya? Unless you know Agunaya. You know, there are some people, all they like is that somebody should die and they will organize party and they will go. He said, as for on this side, as under the power of darkness, I can get some party to go. There will be some spinning to go. There will be some clubbing to go. There will be some, you know, some things to. This charity area, the kingdom of his dear son, is too orderly for me. I want to be walking like this. But Charity says I should be walking like. You see, that is. It just happens so that we know. When I became born again, that's what happened to me. I move to come under a new law, a new existence, a new power, a new realm, a new life. He said, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. So when I gave my life to Jesus Christ and I received the salvation of Christ, my sins were forgiven. Whether it was the sins of my great grandfathers, And I know questions may start coming to your mind. I'm going to reserve some 5 minutes. Let's interact. I want us to interact. I want us to grow. Ask questions. If I don't have answers, I will do a research and come up with answers. My great-grandfather, my personal sins, knowingly and unknowingly, he has given us redemption and forgiven our sins. And the Bible says he is, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. The Bible says, so why salvation? Why do I need salvation? Have you thought about it? Why should I be born again? It's not about going to church. Oh, you have a question. You have a question. Where's your microphone? Let's do this way. Okay. So give a microphone. I love that. Give a microphone. And the question is, so why salvation? Why should I be born again?
Why salvation because the wages of sin is
there? Beautiful. So what she's saying in essence is flowing from that definition. We were dead and we have been brought to life. Therefore, if I have to express salvation, if I have to listen to it carefully, it means that I must know whether I'm alive or I'm dead. And if somebody is hearing this, the person must ask him or herself, am I alive or dead? That's a question you must ask. Am I dead? Am I alive? If I'm alive, then I know what kind of life. We're going after something. So Romans chapter 6, and if she just answered that question, Romans chapter 6 says that for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Read that scripture carefully again. People stop at the gift of God is eternal life. But there is an aspect that says what? Our Lord. The point is, I cannot say I have salvation and born again, I have eternal life, and Jesus is not Lord over me. I cannot be born again and I'm a law unto myself. In scripture, when you are a law to yourself, you are lawless. In scripture, we are governed by him. He is our Lord. So some people know him as Jesus, the one that saves. Some people know him as the miracle worker. But not many people know him as their Lord and personal savior, that he has saved me and my life is subjected to him. Look, if these things were taught to us properly, some of us people will not keep secret bank accounts. Our Lord, what does that mean? It means your life is not, you know the song, it played as I said, this life is not my own. Maybe you need to change the key a little. I give myself to, you know, this life is not your own. And so, you know the song, those are the song. It's my life, I'll live it. And that is the realm of darkness. He has motivated us. So we go, it's my life, I'll live it. Bam, bam. And we are happy. We live and we are in charge. I'm the one in control. My money, my life, my wife, my husband. You don't own it. When we have salvation, we have what is called eternal life. Something you should underline. Something you should go and search. Something you should research. There's something called eternal life. What is eternal life? I'm going to throw some things at you because we cannot teach everything all at once. There is a life in the Bible called the Zoe kind of life. Z-O-E. It's eternal life. It's eternal life. Eternal life is a God kind of life. The life that God has come to live in me when I have salvation or when I am born again. So I can behave like God. I can talk like God. I can walk like him. I can carry myself in the same power. I was saying this morning that the same power that heals headache is the same power that raises the dead. The same power. It says, listen, let me quote another scripture. Go with me to the book of John. Let me quote another scripture. Let me just back that little statement. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. So to even further analyze it, there is no gift of God that is eternal life outside Christ. The Bible tells us that there is no way by which one can be saved except Jesus. Some people say, oh, you know, when our Christianity becomes so corrupt, so, you know, when you pray to Buddha, you can go to God. When you pray to Allah, you can go to God. When you pray to Shintoism, you can go to God. When you do this one, you can go to God. Mary and I used to have a lot of fights back then. Sometimes, you know, those people on Facebook, and she would watch them. And I know at the time she didn't know. She would say, somebody said you should pray with, even that one, you're not the one who said it, belief. Somebody who comes here and after all this anointing and deliverance and everything, we're going to pray with belief. Do you know Adango? You know Adango? People bark with Adango and the direction. But I'm going to read a scripture. It says what? It says, for the wages of sin is what? Death. I'm coming to that. That is why we need salvation. But there's something after. It said, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In what? Christ Jesus. It cannot be outside Him. He is the absolute grounds upon which everything happened. In Christ Jesus. So charity can start a new note. In Christ's realities. Ah, yeah, yeah. You see, this is the way you grow. In Christ's realities, what are the things that happens when I come to Christ? You can start developing a note. You can start developing a personal study. I'm challenging everybody here to grow. When I'm sitting and somebody's teaching and I'm making notes, if you come and see me use pen to make notes, you'll be amazed. Even if you see me typing and you see my notes, you'll be amazed. The thing. Sometimes somewhere I'll go and put brackets and I'll write a topic there because I have something. In Christ Jesus. You can do a simple message, in Christ Jesus. If any man is in Christ, you have a message. It will develop you. So you realize that in Christ you have a new law. And I'm going after something. The book of John, let me go there quickly, our time. Let me find this scripture. John chapter 17, the verse 3. John 17, the verse 3. It says, and we are going to define what eternal life is for short, using just this verse. It says, and this is eternal life. What is it? That they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus whom you have sent. This is eternal life. That they may do what? Know. And that word know is beyond just mental assent. Oh, I understand that God is God. It's beyond that. That word know means to be acquainted, to live with the reality, and the reality is you. You are the reality. That word know is a blended life altogether. And what is eternal life? Is the God kind of life that lives in ordinary persons. So you who is walking here, going through the frustrations of life, you carry God's life in you. Your bosses may be frustrating in the office. I remember one time, Albert, this boss frustrated Albert. Even for Albert to go and even apologize. Hey! But Albert is carrying God inside him. Hear me. You may be in the valley. The God kind of life is in you. If you are born again. So, like Mary, you just got born again and suddenly, she got born again. Suddenly, plenty troubles. Plenty. Hey, I can count three already. Plenty. Then suddenly, Mary is a problem. Suddenly, this one and that one. And you wonder whether if I gave my life to God is the right thing or if I stayed by myself. You understand what I'm saying? So you have to be very, very careful. Because sometimes when the breakthrough of God is about to happen to us, we go through all kinds of things. We fight battles. This is eternal life. That what? We may know God. So anytime I discover a new level of God, eternal life has arrived in powerful layers. Now, it says, we are saying that why I must be born again is because we are all dead. Every man under sin is what? Dead. Everybody under sin is dead. And therefore, there are three types of death. We need to examine what type of dying we are talking about. Have you thought about it? What type of dying? What type of dying? Now, what type of dying? If he said, for the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is, no answer is wrong, okay? No answer is wrong. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the gift of God is what? Eternal life. In Christ our Lord. So don't become born again and be a Lord to yourself and say, this one is my life, I'm holding on to God. This one you don't have access to it. That bank account is my own. Then immediately you became born again, you have lost everything. You used to be, I am in charge, but now you are subjected. And this one, some places you can't teach it. So what does it mean that for the wages of sin is death? And if we read scripture further, the Bible says that everybody that sin died. So what kind of death is that? Who knows death? Oh, quickly, our time. Who knows what kind of death? Charity, you're not sure? Okay, I love that. I love that sincerity. Albert, you wanted to say something? Yeah, what kind of death?
It's not a physical death.
It's not a physical death?
The death of your inner spirit. Spirit that communicates with God, or that comes in communication with a being. I learned that every human being has this unique, let me call it a device in him, that brings you closer to a deity or a spiritual being. So there is no one who says, I don't worship God, which I don't worship Satan. You can't be in the middle. You have to be at one point. At one point, your being or your spirit will connect with one of the deities. And it's, I'll say that it's the death of your spirit, which is a spiritual death.
That's very good. That's very good. The death of your spirit. So there are three types of death. There is a spiritual death. Ezekiel chapter 18. Those of us making notes, you can pick this. Ezekiel chapter 18. I'm not reading. Ezekiel 18, 20. You're going to say something. So tell me. No, no, no. So spiritual death is number one. Spiritual death is number one. It says that the soul that sins shall die. Now you realize that even that statement is in present continuous. It's not that the soul that sinned, the soul that what? Sins. Now I want you to take me, because I'm going to show you something in scripture. I want to show you and I something in scripture. It will help us. The soul that sins shall die. So there's spiritual death, there's physical death, and there is eternal death. Now, physical death, Hebrews chapter 9, the verse 27, it says that for it's appointed unto man once to die, after that judgment. In some place, you can't discuss death, though. Because they believe when you discuss death, death will arrive. But I have been saying that if you mark death in your life, it will change the way you behave. For example, I am wealthy. I have lots of money. I have access. I have opportunities. And I've marked death in my life. It will change the way I use my wealth. Will I use my wealth to destroy people? To destroy nations? You know, some people use wealth. When the Liberian War was ongoing, people were rented. Excuse my language. People were, assassins were hired from Ghana. They joined Nigerians and what do you call them? That place. Ivorians. And they went to Liberia as mercenaries to go and fight. Somebody paid them. It's contract. As the war is going, was ongoing in Ukraine, I know somebody who told me, you know the person too, he told, maybe he also said it in your head. He said, as he's going back to Scotland, he may either go to Ukraine to go and fight. He said, there's a lot of money in that. Yes, to go and fight. You're shaking your head. Look, you just go and die, you pay your family. One of my colleagues, you didn't meet him. He's a Filipino guy. I said, oh, I was teasing him. I said, I've spoken to the bosses in Singapore. They want to give you $20,000 every month. You go to Afghanistan. He said, if they pay me $1 billion, I'll not go. He said the first night they arrived 2 a.m. When they arrived, rockets started flying. He has to sleep in the bunker. And he stayed there for 2 years. And me, I'm saying 20,000. Even $1 million, you will not go. People pay people to go and do wickedness. So I have money. Will I use the money to fuel the kingdom of God? Take care of people. Do you know that there are young ladies today who may find themselves in the most dangerous place of life if somebody does not rise up to save them? And the person may have money, may have opportunity. There are people today, let me not say that. That's prophecy. There are people today who do not have any place to sleep if somebody does not provide accommodation for them. There are ladies today who get into slave trade if somebody does not rise up. And so if I have money and I've marked death and I know that one day it will end, and that my wealth that I have, yes, it is transient. However, it has eternal consequences. If I use it, it changes everything. Then I make investments in eternity. So there is physical death, there is spiritual death. Did I give you that scripture also? Eternal death, Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. Wow, today they have people in this house. Eternal death, Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. Please give me just about 8:10. I stop. Daniel chapter 10, verse 2. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Matthew 10, 28. Matthew 25, the verse 41 through 45. You don't worry. When we start Sunday service, we'll lock you in my office. And we'll see. Charity, start thinking about some nice toys. You see, those small, small toys, the dinosaurs. When they enter, they will not come out. When they are seeing dinosaurs, small, small dinosaurs, and you are talking to them, they will not come out. Now, we realize that the consequence of sin is very devastating and disastrous. I'm going after something shortly. It's very disastrous. Therefore, playing with sin can thwart the purpose of God for our lives, even as far as killing the power of eternal life in us. Look at this scripture, 1 Corinthians. Maybe all right. Maybe I'll stop after this, so that next week we continue. And next week, if we get to start very early, and I have solid 1 hour 30 minutes, I think I can finish all of this salvation, so we jump into another thing. But as I finish this today, I'm going to give you some assignments, some things you have to begin to read. I would, by morning, I will post. Rejoice, are you on a new platform? No. You're not sure? Yes, I don't think she's there. She's not there. So by morning, I'm going to post a PDF, maybe two PDF materials, one page or two pages, very short. It's scriptures showing you how salvation has been applied. And if you understand scripture, you can pray with them. You can really pray with them. It's to help you. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I'm going to end on that. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The consequence of sin is very devastating and disastrous. Let's look at the verses of verse 54 down to 56. So when this corruptible means this one, flesh, this body, all of these things we see. When this corruptible has put on incorruption, which is saying that one day eternal life will now assume everything, and this flesh will be gone, and this one, eternal life, will now take on this flesh completely. It says, when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then it shall be brought to pass. It shall be brought to pass, the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The verse 55. O death, Where is your sting? Pay attention to these verses. Oh, death. We said that everybody died. That is why we need salvation, isn't it? And therefore, this death has arrived as a result of what? Sin. Oh, death. Where is your sting? Oh, Hades. Hades is the power that controls death, the realm of death. It's a demon. Hades is a demon. It's a principality. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, Hades, where is your victory? Verse 56. For the sting of death is sin. Get that again. For the sting of death is what? No, say that with me. I want you to speak with you. For the sting of death is what?
Sin.
Repeat that again. For the sting of death is sin. So anytime I sin, death has beaten me. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Anytime I am born again, even when I sin, death is biting me. It's eating me up. It's holding me. I have a book, maybe when I'm turning 50, I have to release about 5 books. One of them, the title is Rethinking Fellowship. You need to understand community. One of them is In the Footprints of Enoch, Calling Forth an Immortality Ready People. In that book, I wrote something about death, dying well. You know, physically, you can die and die well. Even you may die in a plane crash, but you're dying well. Dying well. Anytime. Okay, so let me show you. Where is death? Where is death? Can you see death around? Okay. I'll show you. I'll show you somewhere. And it's not a cemetery. If you like, go to Vienna City. You see death there. You see death standing by the roadside. And some beautiful lady. we went somewhere, Albert and I, Bernard, we were passing here. Death is saying, come here. Hey, you come. Hey, come, let me deal with you. And death doesn't look like death. You see that guy in drugs. You see that guy in sitting in that office stealing so much. You see that government leader thinking death has eaten him up. That is why the Bible says that, my son, do not envy sinners. Do not look at them and think they prosper more than you. Sometimes you look at people, the way they live. He has this girlfriend here, he has this one here, he has this one here, he has this one here, he has that one here. And he's prospering. He's driving the best cars. And you are wondering, but me, who is born again? Where is my testimony? It says, do not envy sinners. It says they are like grass. They spring up and suddenly they fade away. Death is everywhere. Go to the nightclub. Death is there. Wherever you see the act of sin, the seed of sin, death has taken over. So if I'm the one, I'll continue to shift from my limitations and continue to move into life. That is why we have to be born again. Because when we become born again, the life of God indwells us and enriches us. Next week, God willing, I will talk about the born-again experience some more. And then I'll talk to you about soteria so you can understand. Salvation is not a word. It's a sentence. It's a package. Now, what will you do this weekend? This week. Let me share something with you for you to get into. When you go to YouTube, okay? When you go to YouTube, all of us, when you go to YouTube, I will encourage you, delete some app from your phone and put Spotify there. Yeah? Put Apple Podcasts there. Listen to some good things. When you do podcasts, you look for Mark Agbeko, or He Breathed and Man Became. Go to YouTube, look for Mark Agbeko. Look for Basilia News Years. Look for Northgate Global. Some of us, we are sitting here, we are not following even our pages. It's not helpful. If the page become 1 million followers, do you know how much money will come to your church? That is why some people are busy today. They are trying to do YouTube quickly so that they will get followers and all of that. But that is not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about go look for Mark Agbeko. There's a teaching there. Mary, you've seen that teaching before. The title is the what? Mary, you should know it. No, what was that? No, maybe you've forgotten. You watched a number of them, but there is this teaching there, the new birth. Okay? I taught it on a friend's platform in Denver, Colorado. I want everybody this week soak it. The new birth. I'm going to stop here and ask me only two questions and then let's pray. Next week, by 6 o'clock, 6:10 latest, I want to hold the microphone. By 7:10, 7:15, we are praying like 45 minutes because we want to grow. Okay? Has it been a blessing to you? All right. Has it been an eye-opener? Do we see where we are in God? Do you see how valuable you are? Do you see that you are walking in this life through several frustrations, but God is inside you? You are carrying God. Beautiful. Okay, I have it here. Good, 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 good. All right, so one question, two. One or two questions. Okay, I was saying that look for Mark Agbeko on YouTube and look for the new birth. The new birth. And I'll encourage you, just subscribe to that channel so that anything we upload there, you have it. Even this recording, we're going to do well to upload it there and we'll share the link. We need to grow. The next time you meet that drunkard, and he said, well, why should I be born again? Alcohol is sweet. One of my friends told me, he said, marijuana is very sweet. But he's a preacher today. He says, it's very sweet. So what is it that will challenge the man who says marijuana is like, marijuana is sweet? Challenge the man to live sweet marijuana. He said, the reason why he became born again was a friend of his became born again. And both of them smoked marijuana. And the friend said, you know Anderson Williams. Anderson. And a friend told him, he said, Andy, I know the kind of women you like. I know the kind of marijuana too you like. I found something, I know you will like it. So they went to church. And the first time they went to church, he said he was standing between, unfortunately, they positioned him between two different women. It was one woman here, one woman here. And the Holy Ghost came on the women. And the women were falling on him. He felt so embarrassed. He said, what kind of thing is it that I like that this guy has invited me to? So the next day, when they went to church again, he went to the same place again. These two women were there. And he said he had a personal conversation with them. He said, the next time you allow your Holy Ghost to come on you and you fall on me and you embarrass me, I will also allow my Holy Ghost to come on me and I will embarrass you. The guy was not born again. And he said that night the pastor called him and said, Andy, the hand of God is upon you. He said he's trying to understand what even the hand of God is. Then the pastor said, Andy, the anointing of God is upon you. He said, I'm struggling to understand what the hand of God is. You are saying the anointing of God is on me. Today is one of the voices in the earth. That guy carries grace and anointing. So ask me one question. One. Now we brought it to from 2 to 1. Any question? We've shared a lot. No, ask me. Be very confident. You know, don't go and ask that man on TV who is lying all over the place. Mary, you remember that alligator pepper thing? They will tell you, say, you know, this born again, add alligator pepper to it, put it under your pillow, pray with it. Chew it and pray. They say chew it and pray. At the time you chew it and you pray, all your family members, their body will be peppering them. What question is that? Don't you have any question? Next Sunday when you come in, come with a notepad, make notes. Okay? This is how I grew up. I made notes. When I go home, Monday to Friday, I use the notes for my Bible study so I can teach my pastor's message. I can teach his message. I may not be able to relate some of the stories, but I can teach his message. And as I was studying it, God gave me my own anointing. So those days, the pastor who we celebrated today, he can start a series. He has preached five Sundays. And he says, Mark is teaching the next four Sundays. I'll come and continue and teach depth. Meanwhile, I don't know what is in his notes. So he loved me, even though I was the youngest and I was a bit some way. I don't like some things, but he loved me. He gave me opportunity, gave me pulpit. So do that. Albert, please do. Ask your question.
Okay, my question is, with the salvation you are talking about, I heard someone saying that, I heard a preacher saying that you can be saved, but when you don't get baptized, your salvation is meaningless.
Mm.
Because he says no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is baptized or he is
John chapter 3.
Unless the person is baptized with
water.
So meaning if I'm not baptized, I can be saved, but my salvation is zero.
Alright.
How are we going to deal with that?
Okay, so, who has any opinion? Okay, I got born again. Then I died yesterday, the next day. They didn't get an opportunity to even pour water on my head. Is that born again? So, have you made it a more serious, very clear, so that we can use, would that salvation count? What have we seen in scripture to start with? What have we seen is the church to start. Now, next week we're going to jump into the born again thing and discuss the born again. What does it mean to be born again? But to run ahead of us is that your spirit is regenerated. The salvation experience is not about water on the body. It's about your spirit. It's a renewal of your spirit to start with. That is the salvation experience. The Bible says that unless you are born of water and of spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. You cannot see the kingdom of God. It said, unless a man be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you are born of water and of the spirit, you cannot enter. Now, those are metaphoric, serious metaphoric languages. Because scripture has metaphors. What is seeing the kingdom of God? What is entering the kingdom of God? If I'm born again, have I entered into the kingdom of God? Yes. Colossians chapter 1, he has translated us from into. Right. What does it mean that I can't see the kingdom of God? I can't enter the kingdom of God. There are certain spiritual experiences that we cannot walk in if I'm not baptized in water. There are certain spiritual experiences. We know exception of men in the Bible, physical existence. A guy like Billy Graham, he wasn't Holy Ghost baptized, but how many souls did he not pull for God? You see that exception. But you cannot see the kingdom of God is you cannot have that visionary, revelationary experiences if you're not born again. So once you are born again, your spiritual eyes are already open. You can sense things, you can feel things, you can know God, you can feel the move of God. Baptized in water and in spirit, you begin to move in the activities of the kingdom powerfully. So that is the essence. When we are baptized in water, for short, it means you died with him, you resurrected with him. So you are making a certain statement that even the old things, even the thing, now somebody can be struggling with sins and demon, okay? I've seen it. They baptize people, when they bring them out of the water, the demon that is living in the person begin to, and then deliverance is connected, that person is free. Somebody has a certain sickness, is baptized. you are entering into certain dimensions. We are talking about dimensions of the kingdom, not your salvation experience. So if I were born again today, and then maybe I'm traveling, I'm on a plane crash and I die, does it mean I will not come before the Lord? My salvation is not complete. No. Now let me add this quickly. You know, they say once saved, forever saved. You don't want to ask that question. Mary, do you believe in once saved, forever saved? You will know. There is instantaneous salvation. Right now, I've given my life to Christ. I am born again. I've received instantaneous salvation. There is progressive, continuous salvation. When I continue to... There is progressive salvation. What does progressive salvation do to you and I? And next week we touch on that again. So I don't want to belabor the point. Paul says, work out your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. So I have to correct some things in my life. You get it? I have to correct my ways. So it doesn't mean your salvation is not complete. It doesn't mean your salvation lacks something, but certain dimensions of the kingdom and the spirit of God. So I'm born again. I didn't receive Holy Ghost baptism. How about that one too? I need to receive Holy Ghost baptism so I can enter into the experiences, the hearing of the Spirit, the gift of the Spirit, so the gift and the call of God in me will explode. I need to enjoy. I didn't come into this life to suffer. I need to enjoy aspects of the kingdom. Then there is final salvation. After the judgment, you are either going to hell and somebody is going to heaven and that kind of thing. Yeah. I think it's a good one. It's a very good question. So we don't get confused. Abba, you want to say something again? No, go ahead.
This conversation sometimes go through it. And I think it's a good one. Let's do it. So, in a book of Acts, when the church started, when Jesus Christ left and he gave the mandate to...
Come closer.
He gave the mandate to the apostles to continue and they started preaching. He says, on that day, they added 3,000 men to the church. So those 3,000 men, from scripture, we didn't hear that they were baptized.
Mm-hmm.
But afterwards, all the men... Peter prayed for and ministered to the Ethiopian eunuch, the rich man, Cornelius, and the other people. Whenever he ministers to them, he is commanded to baptize them immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So, the role of baptism in salvation, or the role of baptism in our Christian life, in our spiritual walk with God, that is a very major thing. We have to see the differentiation. We have to know how things work out. Or else, baptism will deny us from being saved. Because I was baptized by pouring water on my church.
Yes.
We don't just pour the water. So if I say I am saved, I have been saved, but I'm not being baptized
in immersion.
Meaning I'm not saved. That is a very big question we have to tackle and know where we are.
Where we are going on. In fact, we'll catch Albert and throw him inside the river. Unless you want to say, let's have this last one and then. I think it's been a very beautiful night. Amen.
Yeah. My question is that, is it possible for a Christian who is facing a whole lot of challenges in life make it to heaven?
Wow. Obi, do you think that this mark, I'm facing a lot of challenges. So you see me dressed nice like this, my challenge is plenty. Do you think I'll make it to heaven?
It's a very deep question.
Okay. There are some flickers of scripture It says that we shall be saved by many troubles. Sometimes God knows that you yourself, you are swordin. So what he will do is that he will give you many troubles so that by the troubles you can be saved. What will the troubles do? What the challenges will do? Will teach you so many things in life. People see me and they say I'm very calm. But I'm not calm like that. I'm not calm like that. Ministry has made me very calm. Hey, Minister Washio. Hey, I'll climb this thing. I'll climb it and go. I'll go up there. Fighting. Me. Maybe Satan saw it and said, this guy, let me anoint him. That's how come I ended up in occultism and that kind of thing. Yes. In fact, when I went into occultism, the first charm I ever got was for fighting. And then you tell me on the 6th I should come and sleep. I'll cry. Hurry the first thing. You see this man sitting here very calm like that. Me, I've been asking why he is calm like this. This man is Vandal Chief. If you know Legon, Vandal Chief. This is Chief. This is Chief sitting here. This is Vandal Chief. Hey! Harry, what make Harry so? I said, Harry, how do you end there? How does this man speak and all these Ajaguda boys can listen and obey? When he says stop, they will stop. Go, they will go. Life. When you pass through certain things in life, you realize that it's not everything you chase. There are some things you've gone through, you realize that it's not everything you get angry over. You just, when somebody is inside, you just know where this thing will end. So you will go to heaven. By many troubles, we shall be saved. You still go to heaven. But when you go through your life experiences, one thing I want you to do, ask yourself, or maybe two things. What is the revelation of Christ in this for me? What is God seeking to tell me, reveal to me? So sometimes we may go through the same thing over and over because there's something we are not learning. That thing is supposed to equip us and enhance our walk. Number one. Number two, ask yourself, what is the lesson, general lesson in this for me? Somebody went through something in life and became a millionaire. Just an experience. The person became a millionaire. But some of us have been through millionaire experiences, but because we are not learning the thing, God keep bringing the same experience. So you learn it and then move into the path you have to move into. Christian suffering, the question is this. Christian suffering, is it good or bad? Should Christians suffer? Should Christians suffer? He says no, but you must suffer. Yes. I forgot to say that did a teaching. Christian suffering. Yes. There are things you have to go through. So sometimes you realize they tell you sugar-coated things. If you can't born again, this and that and that. Then troubles are coming and you realize, but this God, why too many troubles? Then I want to go back. Quick picture. The children of Israel, they left Egypt. What happened? You know the story already. Then the Egyptians started chasing them. That is that trouble. Those demons chasing, say, no, I am never going to allow you to enter into your inheritance. You will not get into that opportunity. So you have one problem in the office from the other. It is sometimes people become born again, they lose their job. They just give their life to Christ, they just lose their job. And you wonder, what is it in the world with this? God, the devil wants to put you in a place so that you will feel the pain and you will yield to him. So be careful of extreme pain. Be careful of extreme joy. Be extremely careful of extreme pain because it can sweep you and make you do the wrong things. Be careful. I'm partying. I have the best opportunity and I'm excited. Extreme joy. Be careful. Be modest. Remain humble, remain calm. And when you are going through the most challenging aspects of life, look, there's something you have to do, the mercies of God and warfare. You have to go into it in the mercies of God. You have to surround yourself with the good people, not people who will tell you, curse God and die. Curse God and die. I mean, this is the way I did it, oh. This is the way I did it and I broke through. I saw that man. Do you know how many preaching we have done? And ministry have struggled. I went to a man of God, and the man of God told me, he said, come on Sunday, I'll tell you something. And as I was standing in front of him that dawn, 4 a.m., around 5 a.m., he finished his all night. I was standing in front of him. In fact, he looked in a certain direction for some time. He said, come Sunday morning to service. I'll tell you what to do. And when I turned my back, the Holy Spirit said, don't step there again. I saw occultic things in his eye. I was struggling. And I was looking for solution. So if I weren't careful, no long he would not take me and say, you know, this midnight I'm going to pray. Come and join me. And I'll go. He will start with powerful prayer. We pray and say, I'm going to do direction for you. At that time, why are you frustrated? Then they use green oil. He said, this oil, Papa, I prayed. He poured it on you. You also believe. You come home. The Spirit has taken over your life. When he commands you, you are obeying and running. You have lost your gift and calling. I couldn't be this pure standing here talking the word of God. When I went through the challenges of my life, I couldn't be this pure by holding on to wrong things. I stayed close to God. I stayed in good circle of friendships. I listened to good music. I listened to good teaching. Not just any teaching. I followed after God. It's important. So you go to heaven, but manage your challenges, your crisis. Everybody will experience crisis. Every one of us. There'll be crisis sometime in your life. It could be sickness. It could be death. It could be financial loss. My friend was saying he ministered to a man, the man dashing a Murano. Dashing Memorano. So recently the man lost $25 million opportunity. And the man said something is happening to him. And he went to the hospital. Doctors checking, he said he's okay. There's nothing wrong with you. You are okay. It's money that is sweetening you. What if you lose $25 million? What will you do? You kill everybody? If you lose a boyfriend today, what will you do? A wife today, what will you do? A husband today, what will you do? A child today, what will you do? Will everything collapse? Will you stop following God? If that man who has promised you is going to marry you, that lady who has shown you every affection, suddenly she disappears on you, what are you going to do? The whole world will collapse. This is why we have to teach the Bible for people to stand strong, regardless of whatever happened. Have you seen the worldly, and I'm ending on this, have you seen the worldly people? The musicians. Have you not seen how many of them die in their old, not old age, even young age? Some of them drink and they die. Some of them hang themselves, commit suicide. Some of them shoot themselves. Some of them jump over, suffering from depression. Look at that Germany goalkeeper some years ago. He died in front of train. He died and killed himself. Hey, go to Nigeria, come to Ghana, go to Togo. Kutonu, go to Nima and see. Somebody suffering from depression, frustration, disappointment, all of their sins. He is not diving into Nima gutter. You are earning euros. You still say you are depressed. You dive in front of train. No, a serious matter. Somebody is sitting in Ghana. He has not even gotten food to eat. You are busy diving in front of. So don't kill yourself. I told you the story. The lady who was, I was walking. I heard a lady talk on the phone. She was walking gingerly. Hey, James. I said, look at this foolish girl. Look at this foolish thing. James Jimini Huang also be Jimini. Oh. You don't understand what she said? He said, James, if you fool, I also fool. Holy Spirit all over the place. You can't kill yourself because something went wrong. You lost money, you lost your job, you don't have food to eat. Share. We fasted. After we finished fasting, we broke with Gary Sokis. Then when we finish, Abbot, we went for evangelism. It's not God's work. Somebody told us if you don't leave, he will pour urine on us. And evangelism is not morning evangelism. It's 3 p.m. evangelism. So how many hours have the urine been kept? When they pour it on you, your skin will rub. It will peel off. Butter my bread Christianity, sugar my bread Christianity is spoiled asshole. Because we are driving automatic car. We don't know how to be changing gear. And by the time you drive 2 hours in traffic, this place, all this place is hurting you. Automatic car, you are going. Ping, 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 give me way. Where are you going? I'm going home, I'm going to die. We are high speed anointing people. Please. Me, I'll not go to church service because my problems are plenty. The other day I called him. You remember the day I called you that night? He was talking on the phone. I kept quiet. He talked. I said, endless, my problems are plenty, Daddy, also. I said, endless, come to church. Please, don't let the frustration your boss give you in the office stop you from lifting your hand to say, Father, I thank you. Don't do that. It doesn't affect, your salvation, if they catch you and throw you in the sea, the salvation is still what it is. If they bring you and put you in fire, the thing is so powerful. Please hear me. It's so powerful that there was a man called John the Revelator, John the Divine. They caught him and they said they don't want blood on their hands. They put him in a boiling, they took him to an, in fact, somewhere, and they put him in a boiling pot and boil him because they don't want to see blood. So that the oil would dry him up and fry human being. They fry him. They don't want to see blood. They boil him in oil and the man was still standing alive. The salvation, the God inside him. And then, because they don't want to catch him and kill him, they took him to a place called Patmos. And then they dump him there. And there was a river that divided. He cannot swim and come. They banish him there, no food, no water, let him die. You are Christianity, what have you suffered? The Christianity we have received, some people were crucified upside down. Somebody was crucified and they opened his leg this way and crucified him. He said he wanted to die on an X cross shape. He cannot die like Jesus Christ died. So they crucified his hands this way instead of that way. Crucify him this way, crucify him that way. His leg they put and then they turn his head upside down. Go to India and see, preachers are beaten with lead pipes until they die. Who is beating in Ghana? Nobody. Let's serve God well. Let's serve God well. Please rise up. Rise up. I want you to just pray. Do you see, understanding is very important? Have you realized that church, we can make a lot of noise? We can be jumping and making a lot of noise, but we're not learning anything. The day understanding arrives, you realize I am powerful. I can take on that problem. I will no longer fall again. I will no longer go down because I am strong. So sometimes you look at something happening in your office and you just be laughing because you know this thing, it will expire. You know very well this thing, it will expire. Rejoice, may the Lord give you some big contract. Huh? The Lord give you some big contract.
Amen.
The Lord comfort you. The Lord settle you.
Amen.
Settle with some big contract.
Amen.
You just know. Please don't be afraid. Your God have not left you. I want you to just thank the Lord. Bless him for understanding. Let's exalt him. You are holy. Father, thank you. Exalt him. We close in just a few minutes. Father, thank you. Bless your name. Holy Spirit, we give you praise. Holy Spirit, we exalt you. We give you all the praise. We give you all the worship. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank the Lord for the spirit of understanding. Pray to the Lord. Let me be established in my salvation. Let me be establishing my salvation. Next week we're going to get deeper. Let me be established. Tell him, establish me, establish me. Mamin Tintin, come. Let me be established. 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 Tell the Lord, open my eyes. Let me see the fullness of my salvation. Say something to you. We pray, a scripture, a number of scriptures just occurred to me, but let me quote one, then I'll quote another so that we pray with that. We need to be established in our salvation. You know, there's a scripture that says, with joy shall you draw from the well of your salvation. How many of us know that scripture? It's in the Nehemiah. It says, with joy you will draw from the well of salvation. So imagine, what do you think the devil is doing to you? Problems. What is this trying to squeeze out of you? Joy. What is it replacing out in place of joy? What is it bringing? Frustration, depression, discouragement. What again? Name them. The footballer says he is depressed, so he dived in front of. If you were born again, you would have realized that inside my troubles, I can be joyful. That is why angels, one of the reasons angels are amazed and come to minister to us is that with all the trouble, look, this lady went through some serious challenges in work. Serious challenges in work. Anytime I look at her, I'm so amazed. Because that thing can just destroy her faith. But I saw her going through it, smiling sometimes, but I know it was difficult for you. Some nights, she couldn't sleep well. We tried to surround her, and she didn't miss any meeting in her storm. Wasn't in just the same month? Then somebody, she got two jobs coming. She went to try the first one for 1 week. He said, no, prof, this one is too difficult, and at the same time, I cannot get time to work. She left it. You don't know, while she was there, then the present place she is now, the man offered her and pulled her and paid her, is it two times what she was being paid? From Comte 7 to Comte 4. You see how God does it? Short. With joy will you draw from the well of salvation. Anytime you realize, Charlie, joy, no, call from. Realize, Charlie, I have to be very careful because I can lose something of my salvation. Let me give you a scripture. Isaiah 33, and we pray. The verse 6, it says, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times and the strength of salvation. So who said you should not go and learn? You should not read? You should not pray out of knowledge? Bible says you shall know the truth and the truth shall do what? Set you free. Immediately you know the truth, light has fallen on you. Today, some of us who sleep at night and this spirit of death come to arrest us, you just realize that now that I am born again, I am not in the realm of darkness, and therefore, you cannot come to me. I want you to pray two things right now. You want to pray that God, let my salvation be established. Let me have joy constantly. Let it be like a river of joy sweeping through my life. Let me draw every single thing out of my salvation. Let me experience it in my lifetime. And I want you to invest in knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of your times and the strength of your salvation. Pray to the Lord. Talk to the Lord. Talk to Him. My God, thank you. A people of strength are rising. A people of power are rising. Just for 2 minutes, talk to Him. Talk to Him. Holy Spirit, thank you. The strength of our salvation. Let us be established. Let us be established. Kaba yaba 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 zika toba. Raba daba zigo to brahade. Misi kiti kiti kapa. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. God bless you. Let's just offer to the Lord, and then we close. Where has Precious picked her bag and she... Where are you going to? Today you are sleeping here.